Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
Good morning, and thank you so much for spending time with us here at Lighthouse Community. Really glad that you're here today. Now, here's a question I want you to think about. Are you familiar with Arnold Schwarzenegger? Everybody got a peg on him? Okay, what is the line that Arnold Schwarzenegger is most famous for? Okay. Somebody just said, it's not a tumor, right? Like, yeah. What is happening? You know all his lines. Oh, my goodness. Yeah, there's a lot out there. Get to the chopper. I'm the governor of California. But no, the one that I'm thinking about the most is, I'll be back, right? Yeah, I'll be back. That's what he's most well known for. But here's what I'm going to tell you. Jesus said it first, okay? Like literally thousands of years in advance, Jesus had that line first. In John chapter 14, verse 3, this is what Jesus said. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me that you also may be where I am. And so when Jesus came into this world the first time in the flesh, he came here to deal with sin, right? He stepped in as our substitute for our sin so that we could be reconciled to God. That's what his death on the cross accomplished. That's what his resurrection out of the grave accomplished. He was dealing with sin. But when Jesus comes back, right, when he returns, he's going to complete the salvation plan that he began on the cross and out of the grave. He's going to bring it to completion. It's going to be done. It's going to be finally and fully accomplished. Okay. Now, there's a lot of people who know that Jesus showed up the first time, but there's not a lot of people that know that Jesus is planning to return. And he said that he is going to come back. And I want to share with you very, very quickly to start off just four truths about Jesus' return, his second coming, that I think every Christian needs to know and needs to understand. And the first truth is this, is that Jesus himself will return, right? Jesus himself will return. There's a moment in Acts, this is after his death and after his resurrection, he gives the disciples some instructions, and then he ascended to heaven, right? Not entirely sure if he's flying, if he's floating, but all I know is he's ascending to heaven, and the disciples are looking up in the sky, and all of a sudden, two angels show up, and they say this, "Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way that you have seen him go into heaven." And so in the way that Jesus left, that he himself left, Jesus, he himself is going to come back. He's not going to send a representative. He's not going to send a messenger. He's not going to come through just some spiritual force or some political movement or some cultural change. When Jesus returns, it will be Jesus Christ himself in the flesh, visible, bodily, suddenly, and it will be absolutely glorious when he does. And so the first thing you need to know is that when Jesus returns, it will be he himself. He's not going to show up somewhere in a desert. He's not going to show up in a piece of toast. He's not going to show, it is going to be Jesus in the flesh showing up. Here's the second truth to know about Jesus' return. Only the Father knows when Jesus will return. No one else knows when Jesus is going to come again. Only the Father knows, right? No one else. Now, the scriptures do say there's going to be signs that he's going to return. And so signs like false messiahs will show up proclaiming that they're Jesus. There will be wars. There will be rumors of wars, earthquakes, famine, persecution of disciples. Jesus at one point talked about an abomination of desolation that will take place. And then the whole world will have heard the gospel and had an opportunity to put their faith in him. These are all signs that his coming will be imminent. Then, at an unknown time after those signs, Jesus will return, right? So, but nobody knows exactly the day or the hour. This is something Jesus himself said in Matthew 24. He said, about that day or hour, no one knows. You should underline, circle that phrase, no one knows. Not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Only the Father knows when Jesus is going to return. So if somebody tells you that they know when Jesus is coming back, you can look them right in the eye and say, no, you don't. No, you don't, right? Because nobody knows except the Father. All right, here's the third truth. The third truth that when Jesus returns, he is going to usher in the new heavens and the new earth, right? Our current existence as we understand it will end and the new one will begin. And so what that means is that when Jesus returns, this is it. This is the finality about it. That means unrepentant people will enter into eternal torment. When Jesus returns, unrepentant people will enter into eternal torment, right? This is a more challenging side of Jesus' second coming. But the reality is that it's true. This is what's going to happen. Paul talks about this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. He says, this will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. And so when Jesus returns, like that's it. Like that's it. And the torment that unrepentant people will suffer is the finality of being fully cut off from the presence of God and never having the opportunity to enjoy his presence or be with him or have the hope of that ever again. That is the essence of eternal torment. There is no hope to ever be rescued from that final eternal separation from God. And so unrepentant people will be fully separated from God and go through an eternal torment because of that. That's a challenging side of it, but there is a hopeful and a blessing side of it, and it's this, and it's the fourth truth. When Jesus returns, genuine believers will be with God forever. Right? Those who have put their faith in Jesus, those who have trusted him for their salvation and for their transformation, they will be with God forever, right? This is the hope. This is the reward and the blessing. In fact, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, it says, for the Lord himself, there you see it again, will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And here's the next portion. You should circle this, underline this, highlight this in your Bible. This is such great news. And so we will be with the Lord forever. That is the hope of heaven. That is the hope of faith in Jesus Christ. You have to know, the reward of heaven is not streets of gold and emerald and jewels and mansions that you probably can't ever fill. The joy and the reward of heaven is being with God, unrestricted, unfiltered, without the presence of sin in any way whatsoever. That is the joy of heaven. That's what we look forward to as followers of Jesus. And I love how Paul wraps that up. He says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. Talk about it. Look forward to it. Let that hope fill your heart and fill your mind as you think about the future. And so those who put their trust in Jesus will enjoy being with God forever. Now, those are four truths about Jesus' return that I just really wanted everybody here and everybody joining online to be exposed to and to know about. Now, those aren't the only four truths to know about Jesus' return and his second coming, but they're the ones that I wanted to really dial into this morning together. As you begin to think about this, right? Some of you're like doing math right now, okay? Because you're going, all right, well, it's been like almost 2,000 years since Jesus ascended to heaven and has told us that he's going to come back. He hasn't come back yet, right? And we don't know when he's going to come back. And so for me, and maybe for you too, that begs a question. And the question might be this: what do I do while I wait for Jesus' return, right? What do I do while I wait for Jesus to come back to fulfill his words? By the way, he's going to. God is a promise keeper. Jesus is a promise keeper. The Holy Spirit is a promise keeper. If he says he's going to do something, he's going to do it, so you can count on it. So the question isn't if he's going to come back, it's when. And so what do you and I do as followers of Jesus Christ while we wait for his return? What do we as humanity, as people do while we wait for Jesus' return? What I want to do is I want to talk about three things that you and I can do while we wait for Jesus to return, okay? And here's the first one. Be prepared. You got to be prepared, all right? So Jesus, before he left, he encouraged his disciples to prepare for his return, to be ready for his return. Now, when some people think of prepared, they start like thinking about building bomb shelters and bunk houses and getting together, you know, non-perishable food items. And so how many of you can can things and actually keep it good? How many of you can do that? Okay, we're going to need you at some point in the future, okay? So I'm just seeing whose house I need to go to when things really go hairy. But you begin to think about prepping in that regard. That's not what Jesus was talking about when he said to be prepared for his second coming, to be ready for his second coming. Here's what he said in Matthew chapter 24, verse 44. He said, "So you also must be ready, because the Son of Man will come at an hour when you do not expect him." And so Jesus says, listen, you've got to be ready, you've got to be prepared, because when I return, I could return at any moment. The angels don't know, people don't know, even I don't know. The Father is the only one who knows when I'm going to come back into this world. And so you need to be ready. You need to be prepared. First Thessalonians chapter 5 puts it this way. "For you know quite well that the day of the Lord's return will come unexpectedly, like a thief in the night." Now, Jesus is not a thief, but he's making the point that it's in that way. Here's another question. Let us know if you're online, if this has been you too, but raise your hand. Has anybody here ever been burgled? I've been burgled. Yeah, I've been burgled. Let me know if you've been burgled. Yeah. How many of you have burgled? Or have you been the burglar, right? Because we have some police officers who would love to talk with you this morning, right? So, but no, I was burgled once. It was a little bit my fault because I did leave my truck unlocked, and so that is my fault. But what I remember about that is, and maybe this is true for some of you, but the thief did not call me and say, "Hey, I'm planning to rob you tonight at about 3 a.m. Does that work for you? I just wanted to see if you're available and if your truck will be around because I want all $7.13 of change that you keep in your cup holder," right? So no, thieves don't call and set up appointments with you for when they can come. A thief comes when you least expect him, when you're focused on something else, when you've lulled yourself to sleep, and you're not really paying attention anymore, and you leave things unlocked. What Paul is saying when he writes this, he goes, listen, we're not going to expect it. We're going to be caught off guard when Jesus returns. He's going to come. He's not going to have this major announcement, right? I'm showing up in a week. It's just going to be sudden. And when Jesus comes back, here's what you have to understand. It's over. When Jesus comes back, it's over. There's no more time. There's no more chances. There's no loopholes to work through on the back end of the contract. There's no back window to sneak in. When he comes back, it's over. And so Jesus says, we need to prepare. We need to be ready. So it begs the question, how do I prepare for Jesus' return? I'm going to tell you very, very simply, this is how you do it. This is the way you prepare for the return of Jesus. Put your faith in Jesus now. That's how you get ready. That's how you be prepared for Jesus' second coming, is you put your faith in Jesus today. The way we say it around here is say yes to Jesus' leadership over your life, right? Because scripture also says this, right? Today is the day of salvation, right? Like if you're hearing his voice now, if the scriptures are ringing true for you, that moment is now. It's not later. And so you come to the place where you realize that you've been living life without God at the center of your life. That's sin, right? Of just putting God off to the side or completely ignoring him, just doing whatever you want to do, bebopping through life, right? You come to the realization that you're living life that way. And so you go, man, I don't want to do that anymore. You change your mind and you ask him for forgiveness and you make a decision to trust him for the rest of your life. And through that, you're inviting him to change you and to change your life every day for the entire rest of your existence, that he transforms you by his grace and his love and his justice and his mercy and all of that one day at a time. You need to know that you can't stockpile enough non-perishable food and you can't house enough bottled water to survive the second coming of Jesus Christ. That will not help you prepare. The way you prepare is by putting your faith in Jesus Christ and saying yes to him and letting him transform you in the process, right? You don't need canned goods and bottled water. You know what you need? You need the bread of life and the living water that only comes through faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can prepare. That's the only way that you can be ready. And so I would invite all of us in this room and everybody joining online to think about this next passage because it's really written to those in the church as well as those outside of the church. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And in fact, let's read this one out loud together, starting with test and evaluate. Are you ready? Go. Test and evaluate yourselves to see whether you are in the faith and living your lives as committed believers. It is a regular part of my life to simply bring myself before Jesus and ask him freshly, man, am I letting you continue to change my life? Am I still walking with you, right? I want to know. I want to be sure. I want to make sure like we're walking in step together. I'm not rebelling against him, anything along those lines. By the way, I want you to notice it says test and evaluate who? Yeah. You don't need to be going around, right? Well, I don't think, okay, we test ourselves. We evaluate ourselves. Am I walking with Jesus? So here's a couple of questions you might use to ask yourself. Questions like this. What do I rely on to save and fix my life? Am I asking Jesus to save me and Jesus to fix me? Or am I looking for wealth or comfort or relationships or influence to fix my life? What am I relying on to save and fix my life? Here's another question. Who's changing your life? Is it you or is it the Holy Spirit? Are you mustering up enough strength and discipline and self-preservation to get it going? Or are you letting the Spirit change your mind and your heart from the inside out and it's affecting every part of your life? Here's another question. Do you desire God more or less today? Do you desire him more or you desire him less? Now, I want to share something with you that maybe some of you have never heard before. There are only two people who know if you are of genuine faith. You're one of them. The other one is God. You cannot find any assurances from me to tell you that you're of genuine faith. I cannot find any assurances from you to confirm to me that I am of genuine faith. This is what Scripture says, that his spirit bears witness with my spirit that I belong to him. Right? And so if you are looking for anything outside of Jesus Christ to confirm that you belong to him, here's one. 2 Corinthians 13 is for you. Test and evaluate. Am I of genuine faith or am I relying on religion to make me feel better as I go throughout this life? This is what it looks like to be ready. It's what it looks like to be prepared. Talk to him. Let the Spirit examine your life. Go to those places that you're uncomfortable going to, right? Let him poke and prod and lead you to the place he wants you to go. I believe in this so strongly. Our church believes in this so strongly that, in fact, what I want to do is I just want to take a moment. I'm going to ask everybody here in this room, and I'm actually going to ask everybody who's joining online to just take a moment, wherever you're at. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes and just kind of bow your head because I want to give you just a moment to examine yourself, to test and evaluate and ask Jesus, am I really of genuine faith walking with you? And I just want to give you a moment to go before the Lord and talk to him. God, we really believe that your word is true. And it's just not good ideas, and it's not a nice way to live life so that you can get along with people. It's true. We believe you're coming back. We believe that that puts the finish line in the sand. And I'm wondering, Holy Spirit, if you're going to draw some people right now who maybe you're going to lead to say, you know what, I think I've been putting my hope in something else. I know I've been living with God to the side of my life. And I'm wondering if you would lead them right now to make a decision to say yes to you. That there is no song to sing, there's no chill to go down their spine, there's no magical words to say. It is a decision in our minds and in our hearts to say, yes, I want everything Jesus offers to me, and I want to follow him the rest of my life and let him change me from here on out. I wonder if you might lead some people to make that decision right now. And I want to tell you, if you're wrestling through that right now, it's as simple as just saying yes to Jesus right now in your seat, wherever you're joining from online. You can make that decision literally right now. And I hope you will. And I hope for others, this is a moment of affirming that you do belong to Jesus, not because you're awesome, but because Jesus is awesome. So God, lead us in truth. We ask these things through Christ's name. Amen. Amen. All right. Here's what scripture tells us, that actually when you're prepared for Jesus' return through faith in him, his second coming won't upset you, it won't unsettle you, it won't make you afraid, it won't make you alarmed. In fact, in many, many ways, you're going to have peace, and you're going to look forward to his return in a lot of different ways. But it starts with being prepared, and the only way you can be prepared is through faith in Jesus Christ. Here's the second thing that you and I can do while we wait for Jesus' return. First one is be prepared. The second one is to be patient. To just be patient, right? Some people, we have no patience, right? We wanted it all yesterday, right? If we had our way, Jesus had already come back, right? He would have left, and then bam, he's right back as soon as he left. But we need to be patient. This is exactly what the scriptures say. Look at James chapter 5. Be patient, then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains? You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near. And so the scriptures invite you and I to be patient. James uses the analogy of a farmer, right? Like, farmers understand patience. You got to wait for the ground to thaw before you can till it up. Then you got to wait a little bit before you can plant. And then after you plant, you are just waiting until it's harvest time, right? And you're looking for the signs for when it's ready. It is heavily about waiting. There's like fury of activity and then waiting. James invites us to wait. Why? Why do you and I need to be patient while we wait for Jesus' return? I'll tell you why. Because God is patient. You and I need to be patient because God is patient. Peter wrote this in his letter. He said, "Dear friends, don't ignore this fact. One day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like one day. The Lord isn't slow to do what he promised, as some people think. Rather, he is patient." For who? For you. He's patient for your sake. He doesn't want to destroy anyone, but he wants all people to have an opportunity to turn to him and change the way that they think and the way that they act. You and I can be patient as we wait for Jesus' return because, listen, you have to understand, God's timetable is not the same as yours. My timetable is not the same as God's. Some of us are going, why is Jesus taking so long? It's been 2,000 years already. It's been like 2 days to him. It's like no time at all. Now, the flip side of that, 2 days is like an eternity as well. God is outside of time and space. You realize that? He is not, he leads creation. He is not led by creation, right? And so his timetable is not the same as ours. And I want you to notice from this passage, some of you need to hear this. And I don't just mean people who aren't of faith. There are some people who have been in the church for decades, and you need to hear this. God wants you to repent. God wants you to be saved from your sins. God wants you to be saved from eternal death. God wants you to be saved from eternal torment, separated from him. He wants you to change your mind about him and about life, and he is giving you time. God doesn't want anybody to be destroyed because of their stubbornness within sin. In fact, a few verses later, Peter wrote this, and remember, our Lord's patience gives people time to be saved. He's patient because he loves you. He's patient because he desires people to put their faith in Jesus rather to oppose him. And so be patient. That's what the scriptures say. How do we do that? Let me share with you really quickly two ways that you and I can become more patient. The first one is this, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will make you more patient. If you get a chance, take a look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. This is describing the fruit of the Spirit. And one of those is patience, right? And so some of you, you're like wanting to be more patient, and you just need to ask the Holy Spirit to give that to you, to let that fruit be developed and born into your life. This is a gift. This is an attribute of the Holy Spirit. And so if you want to become more patient, you can ask the Holy Spirit to create in you and to make you more patient. Now, that's the part we love, okay? Now, let me tell you the second way that God makes us more patient. If you ask the Holy Spirit to make you more patient and to transform your life, you know what he'll use? He'll use tools. You know what tools he loves to use to make us more patient? Trials, troubles, and tests, right? So be careful what you pray for, because the Holy Spirit will give it to you, right? And so trials, troubles, and testing of our faith produces patience in us. James chapter 1 says this, "Dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy." Yay! Praise the Lord. PTL, right? Anyways, for you know, look at this. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. Some of the tests that have come into your life, God has intentionally put there to grow you. Some of the troubles that you're trying to flee and run from right now are God-ordained, given to you to grow you. Some of you want something to happen right now. And God says, I need to mature you before I give that to you. I need to grow you before I open up that door for you. And so in the same way that we trust God in the timing of Jesus' second coming, we also trust him in every other arena of life. So here's my question to every single one of us, myself included. What else do you need to trust God's timing about alongside of Jesus' return? What is this thing that you have been waiting for, and you've been pleading, and you've been asking, and you've been expecting God to do right now, but he hasn't yet? What do you need to trust God's timing for? Relationship? A career change? Move? Starting a family? Getting to go to the college you've always wanted to? What is the change? What is the thing that you're waiting for? Guys, God has a timetable that's not the same as mine and yours. I don't know why God is asking you to wait while he has other people go right now. But the question is this, do you trust him? Do you trust that he's a good father who knows what you need before you even know to ask for it? That's the kind of God that we follow. So here's what I might encourage you. What if you took that thing that you've been wanting God to do, like right now, and maybe he's been allowing you to wait for it? What if you wrote that down on a sticky note, and then below that you wrote this, God, I trust your timing. And put that in the mirror in your bathroom. And every day you look at that, you're reminded, I'm waiting for you to do this thing, but your timing's better than my timing, and I will trust you above anything else. While we're waiting for Jesus' return, while we're waiting for God to do whatever work in our life, we can be patient because God's good and we can trust his timing. Here's the third step, the third action that you and I can take while we're waiting for Jesus' return. We be prepared, we can be patient, and then the last one is this, be present. Be present. The reality is this, is that one day either Jesus will return and that will mark the end of time, or you will expire and that will mark the end of your time, right? One of those two things is going to happen in your lifetime. I guarantee it, right? Either Jesus is coming back or we're going to say goodbye to you, right? Like that is what is going to happen. But until either one of those happens, be present. Be present. Be here where God has planted you. What I mean by that is keep growing spiritually and keep helping other people grow spiritually while you wait for Jesus to return. Listen, if you're a Christian, Jesus has already given you a mission. Jesus has already set purpose to your life. You don't have to go find another one. You have purpose, you have mission. And in fact, that mission is why you're still alive and why you're still here on this earth after you came to faith, right? Before Jesus ascended to heaven, he had gathered his disciples together on a mountain, and this is what he said. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the mission of every truly born-again believer in Jesus Christ. This is your purpose. This is your mission. Whether you're an accountant, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a nurse, whether you're a student, whether you're a mom, whether you're a dad, whether you're a teenager, if you are a follower of Jesus Christ who he has saved and changed, this is the primary mission and purpose of your life. That's why you're still here. That's why I'm still here. And so while you wait for Jesus' return, man, be present and help others learn who Jesus is. Help others come to the place where they believe in him. Help others to learn how to trust and obey Jesus in every single area of their lives. Why is this so important? Why is it so important for you and me to be present while we wait for Jesus' return? Let me put it this way. If I'm here on earth, when Jesus returns, right? When he comes back visibly, bodily, suddenly, gloriously. If I'm here when that happens, here's what you need to know. If I'm on the earth when Jesus returns, it will be the greatest day of my life. It will trump every other highlight that I will have experienced in my life. It will trump the day that we opened up this building and started doing ministry on County Road 99. Jesus coming back is better than that. Jesus coming back will be better than every day that each one of my kids was born and the day that we adopted Kay. That will be the greatest day of my existence. That day will even trump the day that Christina and I looked at each other in front of God and our family and friends and said, I do. If I'm on this earth and Jesus comes back, it is the greatest day of my existence, because all of my hopes will be realized and my faith will become sight, and I will see Jesus keeping one of his promises so clearly in one of my lifetimes, because I will be with God forever and I will be free from sin and never have to deal with that again. It'll be the greatest day of my life. And for every person who has not said yes to Jesus, if they're alive when he comes back, it will be the worst day of their lives. The worst. Because in that moment, they realize this was real, this was true, and it's over. And the scriptures say that they will be cast aside and they will suffer the eternal torment of separation from God for all of eternity. And so Christians, listen, I'm not talking to church people right now. I'm talking to Christians. I'm talking to people of genuine faith. We need you here. We need you here. In Findlay, we need you here. In Hancock County, right? We need you here helping people to discover who Jesus is and how to put their faith in him and say yes to him and enjoy a whole new life and existence with him. We need you here, present, engaged in the work of the mission that Jesus invited us to do. We need you focused in this moment. Because there's going to hit a moment, who cares what promotions you got at work? Nobody's going to care about the vacations you took. Now, I'm not telling you don't work well at work. I'm not telling you don't enjoy vacations. All I'm saying is live in light of eternity, man. Think about what is of real value instead of getting lulled to sleep. Because on one day, Jesus is going to come back. And it's going to be in a day when I don't expect it. And I just want to be honest with you. I want to be found on that day, if that happens, that Jesus looks at me and says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You were about your master's business. Enter into your master's joy." Now, I'm not saying you get to go to heaven because you're doing all the right stuff. We only get to be with God because of the work of Jesus, that he died in our place for our sin. That's the only reason we get to have a relationship with him. But man, I want to tell you, I want to be found doing what Jesus asked me to do before he left this earth. And so really quickly, I'm going to give you two practical ways that you can be present in the here and now. The first one is this: pray for people. Pray for people to come to faith in Jesus. It really is. It's that simple and it's that powerful. We are talking about the supernatural work of God saving somebody out of death and into life, out of darkness and into light. Do you think that comes through like a better explanation or philosophical view of life? No, this is a supernatural work of God. And so why would we not use the supernatural tools that God has given us? Let's pray, right? In fact, Acts chapter 26, this is a moment. Paul is sharing the good news with a king by the name of Agrippa, and Agrippa interrupted him. "You think you can persuade me to become a Christian so quickly?" Paul replied, "Whether quickly or not, I pray to God that both you and everyone here in this audience might become the same as I am, except for these chains." Paul said, "I am praying for you to come to faith. I am praying that you would say yes to Jesus and it would transform your entire existence." Who are you praying for? Who are you praying for with regularity that they would come to faith? Christina and I, for 5 years, we prayed for my dad that he would come to faith. And I remember at year two going, "This is never going to happen." And at year four, "This is a waste of time." And at year five, something remarkable happened. A massive tragedy entered my dad's life that opened his eyes and woke him up to realize that this is not all there is. And he was open to the reality that there was a Jesus. And I was there the day that he passed out of death and crossed into life. And he was changed. My dad was an alcoholic and a Vietnam veteran and a hard guy. And when the Holy Spirit showed up in his life, man, we laughed and joked and hugged. We talked about scripture. He came to my church once and watched me preach. And I said, "Dad, what'd you think?" And he said, "Quite a show," right? Right? And so sometimes people come to faith quickly. And sometimes it's over years. Sometimes it's over decades. And sometimes it's over a lifetime. But we pray. We ask Jesus to do a work that only he can do. Here's the second thing. It's very simple. It's low-hanging fruit, but it's easy. Here's the second way. Just invite people to church. Just invite people to come with you, right? It's just so simple. Why don't you join with me? Let's go grab lunch afterwards. Let's get breakfast before. Let's whatever, you know? This is actually how some of the disciples made their way to Jesus, right? There's a moment Philip runs into Jesus, realizes he is who he says he is, and he goes and he finds his brother. And here was Philip's big speech, right? This is the moment. It says this, let's read it together. Starting with Philip told him, are you ready? Go. Philip told him, that was it. And guess what? He did. And he became a disciple and it changed his life. Three words. Come and see. Some of you are all amped up about the perfect speech and how to put it in front, and it's literally, just come and see, man. You got to be convinced by God. I can't convince you. It's got to be God who does a work in you. In fact, many of you here today are here today, or you're joining online because a family member or a friend invited you to come and be a part of this, right? And so this is a place, listen, Lighthouse Community is a place where you can discover who Jesus is and enjoy a relationship with him. This is what we do. We do this 52 weeks a year. This is the heart of our ministry right here. Christians, listen, we don't know how much time we have left, whether Jesus is going to return or our time finishes up here in this place. But what I want to ask you to do is, man, be present. Be present, be here, be doing the things that Jesus asks us to do while we wait for him to return. And so here's just a really practical next step. If you grab your blue connection card that Wade and Matt were talking about earlier, look at the back. There's a section at the bottom that says names of people I'm praying to come to faith. You might write down some names, some first names of people you're praying for to come to faith. And then I'm going to ask you to go one step further, that you would pick one of those names, any of those names, I don't care which one it is, just one, and you would text them today. And the text would be this: how can I pray for you today? That's it. And then see where God leads that and how he uses that, right? And I'll tell you, it may be nothing. Somebody might go, I've had this text before. I'm good. No, thanks. So then I know I need to pray for them, right? And I've had others say, wow, your timing could not have been any better. Would you pray for me about this? Doors get opened up when you simply offer to pray for people. So who can you text and who can you pray for? That's the next step you could do literally before you make it to lunch today. The reality is this: Jesus is coming back and we don't know when, but when he does, it will mark the completion of God's plan for salvation. So what do we do while we wait? Be prepared, be patient, and be present. And the last thing I would say to you is this: live in the tension every day that today might be your last day. That's one side of it. Live in the tension every day that today might be your last day. And God is patient, not wanting anybody to be separated from him forever. Live in that tension, right? Let it guide you. And the Holy Spirit leads you in your day-to-day living. I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. And we close with a small question every weekend, and it's just this: Jesus, what are you saying to me through this message and through these scriptures that we read? And I want to give you an opportunity to listen to him. And maybe it could be that you've got a lyric from a song we sang earlier. It's just like living in your mind and your spirit. That may be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Maybe there's a verse we read. Maybe there's a thought that just won't get away. Maybe there's a person in your mind or a next step you're feeling God leading you to take. All of those could be things that Jesus is saying to you right now based on this morning. I want to give you an opportunity to listen to him and to respond. God, we are so thankful for the work that you have done through Jesus' death and resurrection, the work that the Holy Spirit does to transform our lives and to draw us to faith and cause us to look more and more like Jesus. My prayer this morning for myself and for our family, those in the room and those joining online, that nobody would be motivated out of guilt or shame, or some form of manipulation. God, I pray that simply the truth of Scripture put forward and the move of the Holy Spirit in our lives would actually be the key motivators for us to make decisions. To just put truth against things that aren't true and make decisions in light of that. To let the love of Christ compel us in the decisions that we make. To be led by the guidance of the Holy Spirit moment by moment and day by day. And so we do resist things like guilt. We resist things like manipulation here. That's not the goal. But let us be people of light, people who are led by truth, people who are being made into the image and the character of Jesus Christ more and more every single day, who have open arms inviting our county, inviting our family and our friends to know you in the ways that we do. God, guide us by your Spirit and by your truth, we pray.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.